Took 100 rounds of ammo to stop one of those damn things. Could be a dozen in there, 2 dozen. We need better weapons.
More than that, we need to go someplace the droids haven't thought of yet. Gun shops are obvious sources of ammo, police stations too. But all I've round the droids are waiting for us at both.
Navy base is a rad crater. Banks are useless. There isn't anywhere else, not for what we need.
Weapons were considered unnecessary at a vacation resort.
I'm pretty sure we can find more ammo. But first we need some distance to cover our tracks. As the motorcycles raced away, a tiny bell above the gun shop's entrance gave a musical tinkle as the door swung open a crack. A small video camera extended to track the progress of the departing humans. Then, just as smoothly, the lens retracted and the door closed, leaving the street to appear peaceful and empty for the next visitors. 10 blocks later, Ryan turned toward the west and slowed. Checking the street signs, he took a few turns until reaching a residential section. Brightly painted pink apartment houses, interspersed with fast food restaurants and strip malls.
What about a courier company? They'd have some weapons.
Never thought of that, son. Good idea, but they wouldn't have anything we could use against the machines. Just some hand cannons, maybe a few shotguns, but no big ordnance.
What we need is a finished 20mm ATR, plus a shitload of shells. That'd send those droids to the junkyard.
Gun collectors?
They'd have blasters, but no ammo.
A recruitment station?
They turned into a strip mall parking lot. Set between a vegetarian sandwich shop and an insurance agency, the small store was brightly decorated with American flags and printed inducements to earn valuable college tuition by joining the military service of your choice.
That's why I checked the money in the liquor store. Wanted to make sure this was still American territory and that there'd be a recruitment center.
Won't be any blasters there.
Ryan went to the glass door and went to walk inside.
Good. That means no droids. We're here looking for maps.
Maps? What for?
The location of the National Guard armory. A lot of phone books still list the address of the armories, in case of riots. Just the phone number. Also makes them harder for enemy outlanders to find.
Ah, got it.
Going to a desk, the one-eyed warrior cleared the top with a sweep of his arm and began unfolding the old map.
But these recruitment posts often did training at the armory.
Ryan gently smoothed out the wrinkles. The yellow paper tore, and he moved with greater care. Mildred softly touched the remnants of an American flag hanging from a tarnished brass pole.
These things are from my time, but I have no knowledge of this.
You loot enough ruins, you find these things out.
There it is, near the big lake. Good thing we have bikes. That's 20 miles away.
Hope that's still on the mesa. Could have fallen off when it rose.
Using only fingertip pressure, Ryan folded the crumbling map as carefully as possible, then placed it inside his shirt.
Well, let's go find out.
An hour later, the companions were traveling along the city's bypass, skirting a canal that was broken in two, the jagged bottom sticking over the side of the mesa like the teeth of a saw. The day was becoming hotter as the tropical sun rose in the sky. Muted thunder rumbled defiantly as the climbing orb burned holes through the orange and purple storm clouds. Stretched across the eternal storm were the fuzzy black lines of alto cumulus clouds, the dense plutonium vapors resembling prison bars, making it appear as though the entire world were in jail, a dire penitentiary that the inmates themselves had set on fire for no seen reason. Banking the bikes to follow the endless curve of the bypass, they slowly circled the pre-dark city. There were very few cars on the roadway, which seemed odd until they drove past a Mack truck hanging out of the side of an apartment building. When the neutron bomb aced people and electronics, the speeding vehicles had sailed off the bypass from simple inertia. Maneuvering closer to the berm, they could see countless wrecks in charred impact craters spaced irregularly along the suburbs below the elevated bypass. Rich with the smell of sulfur, the wind blew through their hair, and the companions kept a watch on the quivering gauges of their motorcycles as they settled in for a long drive. The armory was on the other side of the city, many miles away. Faded white billboards flashed, and gradually the bypass began to move away from the culvert. Soon the roadway was cutting between rows of low buildings, only 8 or 10 stories high. Mountains of concrete and steel compared to almost any ville, but were mere foothills in comparison to the monolithic giants downtown.
Triple red!
JB throttled down his bike, both hands holding the handlebar steady as he savagely braked. Fighting his bike to a halt, Ryan said nothing as he studied the obstacle blocking the roadway. A huge spider web stretched between two low buildings, the bottom level of the thick strands, only a couple feet off the smooth concrete. Fat, white blobs dotted the precise geometric expanse, a few cawing like condors, one sounding like a weeping man, another thrashing wildly as the cocoon's occupants still fiercely struggled to escape.
Poor bastards. Spiders eat their prey alive. It's saving them for later.
Dean raised the rifle and started to aim at the weeping cocoon, then paused. They didn't have a lot of ammo, and if they had to fight the giant insect, this single round could make the difference between running and getting cocooned. Reluctantly, he lowered the long blaster and tucked it back into the boot. Just then, a weapon fired, and the human-shaped cocoon jerked once, then went still as a crimson stain spread across the silky material. Ryan holstered his Sig Sauer.
Damn.
I think there's enough clearance for us to walk the bikes under the web.
It's going to be tight.
We could burn our way through.
And the smoke would tell everything in the city where we are.
Ryan stepped off his Harley, but kept a hand on the throttle to keep the engine from stalling. The timing had to be off, or maybe there was a blockage in the jets because the bike was beginning to run a little rough. You'd have to keep a watch on that problem. Pausing before the complex arrangement, he could see the main cables that anchored the web were thicker than a man. Slimmer ropes connected each cable, and small strands no bigger than a soup can closed off the sections of the web, making it impossible for anything to escape. A masterpiece of nature, the spider web was beautiful and bone-chilling. From a distance, it had appeared old and dirty. This close, however, they could see the shading actually came from the thousands of tiny winged insects coating every strand. Approaching the colossal trap, Ryan glanced straight up the side and quickly looked back down at the road. The sheer size of the web gave him a rush of vertigo. Probably wasn't as bad for the folks with two good eyes, but for him the dizzying effect was strong. The bottom strand stretched across the roadway at waist height. Ryan was almost past the white net when something tugged on his hair.
What the fuck?
With blinding speed, he drew the Sig Sauer. In relief, the man saw the tug came from some of his own long hair stuck to the web. Holstering the blaster, he pulled out the panga and cut himself loose, letting the web keep its small hair trophy. Reaching the other side, he gratefully righted the motorcycle and rubbed his scalp to ease the sting. The purring of the other bikes got louder as the vehicles were pushed by the riders under the obstruction. Regrouping on the far side, Doc and Mildred were both rubbing their heads, both obvious victims of the web, and Christy's animated hair was coiled so tightly to her scalp she appeared to have a curly crew cut.
Made it.
Dean got on his bike and gunned the engine a few times to clear away any excess shine puddled in the carb. Doing the same, Ryan watched in approval. The boy knew his machines. With each companion teaching him what he or she knew, Dean was getting good lessons in survival.
Gaia, save us. It's here.
Christy drew her Webley. 100 yards down the road, the spider was crawling off the roof of a radio station and onto the roadway. Standing 20 feet high, the mutie's bulbous torso was striped like a tiger in yellow and black. The bristly head was oversized for the body, indicating possible intelligence, and its huge ruby eyes were perfectly stationary, making it impossible to tell in which direction the monster was looking. Instincts honed from 100 battles flared within the man, and Ryan reviewed their situation with lightning speed.
Follow me.
Climbing onto the bike, the one-eyed warrior started to roll forward so slowly that he needed to drag his boots along the road to keep the vehicle upright.
Slow as possible. Nothing that big can change directions quickly. We get close, then hit the gas and roar right past the motherfucker on the berm.
And drop a few of these grins in our wake.
Got any Willy Peter?
Nope.
Damn. Then use whatever you got. Give it something to worry about aside from us.
Dean nodded and retrieved a Molotov from the padded saddlebag. Holding it ready to throw, he watched as the rest of the companions began creeping forward on their bikes, boots dragging. As the spider began to start toward them, Dean quickly ignited the oily rag tied around the bottle's neck and smashed it on the concrete at the middle of the web. The cocktail crashed into a fireball, blue flames licking at the thick strands. The giant spider rushed for the blaze, and the norm separated to roll past the huge mutie. As they came alongside, they each drew weapons, but nobody fired or made any sudden moves. A pungent wave of putrescence followed the creature as it scuttled by, the reek of honey sweetness and rotten meat almost making them gag.